Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. My name's Sam, if you don't know me. I work here at St. Patrick's. It's really great to be able to share with you tonight. I just want to do a little bit of admin to begin with. Got two admin points. One is that tonight, my talk, we're going to be focusing primarily on verses 29 to 34, which is the blind men. The reason for that is because we're doing this series, Questions Jesus Asked. And the question we're thinking about tonight is the question that he asks the blind men, which is, if you look closely, it's, "What do you want me to do for you?" So we're going to focus on that particular story where Jesus heals the blind man. But we'll draw on the mother's request, which is titled in the NIV. We'll draw on that a little bit later on as it provides for us a helpful contrast, which we'll see in a little bit. The second bit of admin is that this week just gone, Tuesday night is my home group. And amazingly, a little bit by coincidence, we actually studied this passage. And then on Wednesday night, youth home group, we also studied this passage. And so, if I say something tonight that is particularly insightful or helpful, then here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to accredit that to the Lord. And then you want to thank the young people and Lorna at the back for the way that they studied the Bible earlier in the week. Because I'm sure if I say something tonight that's helpful, it may well have come from our young people who are sat at the front. So that's the admin for this evening. Is everybody clear? Is that okay? Great. Because here's what I actually want to start with. This is what I want you to hear to begin with. Who here requires assistance to see? Who wears glasses or contact lenses either all the time or occasionally? Quite a lot of people. In fact, that could well be almost every hand in the room is in the air, apart from Lorna. Fantastic. Well, here's the thing. Here's the good news about tonight's passage. It's those who struggle to see physically can actually be the people who see Jesus spiritually the most clearly. Isn't that an intriguing thought to start off the evening? Sorry, Lorna. But here's the thing. If your physical sight is failing you, don't be alarmed. Chances are you can see Jesus spiritually. In fact, you're perhaps more likely to be able to see who Jesus really is. In a moment, I want us to come to our passage, and I really want us to immerse ourselves in it. I want us to feel it and experience what it might have been like for these blind men. And so we're going to read through it together. But before we do that, just to prepare yourselves, you can open the Bible to that page. I think it's page 988. Or as I come to read through it, you might be helpful at some points to close your eyes and you can try and picture this scene that we have beautifully laid out before us in the Bible. But let me pray. Lord, please help us to see you more clearly tonight as we study your word. Lord, we ask for true sight of who Jesus is. Amen. So just to set the scene a little bit clearer for us, the context of this passage, the blind men, what's happening here? Well, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He set his eyes towards the cross, and he's told his disciples that he'll soon suffer, he'll soon die, and 3 days later he'll rise to life. By this time in his ministry, Jesus has gathered quite a reputation, and as a result, there are crowds of people following him, listening to him, watching him, just gathered around him. And so we pick up the story as Jesus is leaving Jericho, and he's on the road to Jerusalem. It's a real road, it still exists today, and Jesus is leaving Jericho, walking along this road towards Jerusalem. And what we will read now is this curious encounter which revolves around the question, what do you want me to do for you, that Jesus asks, and this interesting idea of what it means to see. So it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. So I wonder how long these two blind men have been waiting on the side of the road. Just picture it. They can't see anybody. They can't see anything. But they've heard rumors and whispers that Jesus, the one who heals, is going to be passing by. And so they've positioned themselves on this roadside, ready to shout out, Jesus, or Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And I was thinking about this a bit early on in the week, and I couldn't help have this picture of the blind men sat on the roadside, and by the very nature that they're blind, they can't actually see whereabouts Jesus is on the road. So they could well have shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus isn't where they're facing. In fact, he's over here. Isn't that an intriguing thought? They can't see Jesus. They're shouting out, Lord, Son of David, as he walks on by. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebukes them. Aren't humans cruel sometimes? These two blind men, helpless on the roadside, they speak up for the first time, and in response, they're told to be quiet. Don't bother Jesus, the crowd rebukes them. Or you could say, the crowd says, don't bother us. Don't bother us. But the men, they shout louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The men shout louder. Their persistence in this passage is something to admire. It's something to be praised. They know how badly they need Jesus. And so they shout even louder in the face of opposition. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. And Jesus stops. He asks them a simple question, and they give a simple answer. Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Jesus had compassion on them. And he gives them sight. Don't you just love Jesus sometimes? I mean, all the time, but in particular moments when you read about him in the Bible, I think, oh, that's why I follow you. Come on, Jesus. I think you're amazing. It's one of those moments. Jesus ignores the crowds. He goes over to these blind men. He has compassion out of them, on them. Out of his compassion, he touches their eyes and they receive sight. And so we come to our question, the question that Jesus asks to the blind men. And it's a question that we're going to think about tonight. How might we answer that answer? What do you want me to do for you? The words of Jesus. And on one level, you look at this passage and you think, well, Jesus, isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious what the blind men want you to do? But Jesus here, he waits for their request. And so I think there's something to be said about how Jesus waits and wants the blind men to ask him for help. Perhaps the best way to understand Jesus' question is his way of drawing the men out, giving them an opportunity to verbalize their trust in Jesus and to make their request known to him. Isn't that amazing to think about for a moment? That we have this all-powerful, all-knowing God, the creator of everything, the universe, who knows you inside out, and yet waits to hear your request. And never does he force himself upon you. Rather, he waits with openness to hear what you have to say to him. Isn't that an interesting thought? So why don't we ask things of Jesus more often? That's an interesting question. In fact, it's a question that someone at Lunch Club said to me 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. We have a Lunch Club here on Tuesdays. And it was 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. And at our Lunch Club, we have something called the Verse of the Week, which is just a verse from the Bible, which is at the bottom of our notice sheet. And a couple of weeks ago, I was sat next to somebody in particular, and they turned to me about halfway through our meal, and they said, that's an interesting verse of the week. And the verse they were talking about was John 16, verse 33, which says, as Jesus speaking, he says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so when this particular person turned to me and said, it's an interesting verse, isn't it? I said, oh, okay, what do you make of it? And he turned to me and said, it's funny. I don't understand why we don't just ask Jesus for more things. And he said, it says on the verse of the week that Jesus overcome the world. So why don't we ask him for things when we need help, when we need him? And I was a little bit taken aback by this. I thought, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. And I don't get it. Why don't we ask Jesus things? In fact, why is it that many followers of Jesus actually find it really difficult to answer Jesus when he says, what do you want me to do for you? It's as if we don't want to bother Jesus with our needs and our issues. I wonder whether sometimes Jesus stands before us and says, Sam, what do you want me to do for you? And in response, we're silent. I think there's something about this question that Jesus asks, this open question, that we find difficult and challenging, and it can potentially catch us off guard slightly, because for some reason in our culture, in our society, we're not very good at responding quickly when somebody gives us an option or a choice. Think about a waiter for a moment at a restaurant. You're there, you're ready, you've sat down and you have the menu in front of you, and a waiter comes over and says, what can I get for you? What can I do for you? How many people here have had that moment's panic where you either go, look at the first thing on the menu and say it, or you just can't come up with it and you end up saying, oh, can you give us 5 more minutes? Or you go, when I was growing up, I spent about 10 years ordering the same meal every time. fish and chips, beer battered fish and chips with garden peas. For about 10 years, that's all I ate when I went out for a meal. And I think partly because I liked it, but partly because I didn't know how to answer these questions. It's difficult sometimes to answer an open question. But here's the remarkable thing about our question tonight, this open question. It's not a waiter or anybody or a random person that asks this question. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He comes to us and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus walks over to these blind men and he asks them an open question. So why is it we find it so hard to answer? Well, here's a few reasons I think we find it so challenging to answer this question. Partly, one reason would be that the Lord has actually given us so much stuff already in this country, in our lives, that we just don't know what to ask for. We don't know what is the right thing to ask for. The Lord has provided so much for us. How can we know what to ask for? The opposite was true for the blind men. Now, they had one major need, so they asked for it. Another reason might be that in some way we may feel bad for asking Jesus for things because we don't feel like we deserve it because of sin, because we keep messing up in some way. We just feel like we're bothering Jesus. Well, Jesus has dealt with our sin on the cross. He set us free from that feeling of guilt and shame. So we should be able to answer this question. So how should we answer this question? Well, how we should answer this question, I think, lies in the motivation we have behind our request. And so to understand this idea around motivation, we're going to draw on, like I said, the mother's request from before. We're going to contrast that with the blind man. So Matthew 20:20-28. We see in that particular passage, the verses that I've just quoted to you, we see the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes up to Jesus. In the other Gospels, she's not present, so we can kind of accredit this request to James and John. James and John, they say to Jesus, they ask the same question. They come to Jesus and they make this request. And Jesus asks the mother and James and John the same question, pretty much the same question, that he will later ask the blind man. He says, "What is it you want? What is it you want?" And James and John's mother, she requests for power and authority for her sons. Power and authority. That is her request. By contrast, the blind men simply want to be able to see. James and John have spent a lot of time with Jesus. They're part of the inner 12. And yet their request is self-centered and is a desire for power and fame. By contrast, the blind men have never met Jesus before. And yet they make their request out of humility and desperation. Humility and desperation. And so I want to suggest this evening that the key ingredients to our requests of Jesus when he asks this question is humility and desperation. So what do I mean by those two things? Well, to be humble is to be not self-centered, not ego-boosting, not looking for power or how I might gain something over somebody. It's humble in heart. And to be desperate, these blind men were desperate for Jesus. I think when there's a reliance on the Lord more than on any other thing, we experience a desperate faith. When we get to the end of ourselves and there's simply no place to go other than to Jesus, I think that's a really good place to be, because the only option is Jesus. A faith in that moment, a desperate faith. It's what we see in the blind men. I think in our country, for us at St. Patrick's, we can get humility. We can understand it. We might find it difficult at times, but we can kind of get it. But perhaps for some of us here, we find the desperation side of it quite hard. And not always. There will be times in our lives, maybe at the moment, you feel desperate for Jesus at the end of yourself. And if that is true, then I want to encourage you this evening by saying, Jesus is with you. Jesus is close by to you. A desperate faith. And Jesus pays attention. He hears desperate faith. He sees desperate faith. He is close to you. So these two ingredients, humility and a faith that is desperate, desperately relying on Jesus. But what else should we consider? Well, the more my motivation is in line with God the Father's will, the more my requests will be honouring to Jesus. Just note, I didn't say answered, but they will be honouring to Jesus. So how do I become more in line with the Father's will? Well, just a few points. Read the Bible and you'll see God's heart. You'll see his will for other people. Pray to him. Ask for guidance and do so with that humility and that desperate faith. And finally, ask the Holy Spirit to guide your requests. I'm struck by Luke chapter 11. When Jesus is teaching about prayer, we're told that the Father gives willingly to those who ask him. But crucially in this passage, the greatest gift he gives is the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit works within us. He transforms our motives, transforms our hearts, our desires, to become more in line with the Father's will, so that when we make our request, it's honouring to Jesus and pleasing to him. We need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to help us see what is really important. Funnily enough, in our passage, the response to the request of the brothers in verse 22, where Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking," is true. They did not understand the true extent of their request. But here's the thing. When Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking," I think this could be true for the brothers and the blind men. I think the blind men also did not know the true extent of their request. I think Jesus gave them far more than they realized, far more than they were asking for. And let's think about that some more. I find it quite remarkable that despite the blind men's lack of physical sight, they know enough spiritually to know that Jesus was to be called Lord, Son of David. By calling him Lord, Son of David, they're linking him to Israel's greatest king, King David, whose family tree Jews believed the Messiah would come from. So these blind men, they have faith enough to cry out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And they receive far more than they were expecting. In the same way as last week, in last week's passage with the woman who was healed physically, but also spiritually, that's true for tonight and these blind men. Jesus not only heals them physically, but also spiritually as well. We see they get their vision back, but in the process, they receive true sight, what it means to really see. In verse 34, when it says that Jesus touched their eyes, yeah, he touched their eyes physically, but arguably, he also touched the eyes of their heart and their soul. It's as if Jesus looked at these two men, had compassion on them, and he goes, "Okay, I've heard your faith, your persistence. I see your desperation, and I know your request is able to see, but I'm going to give you an even greater gift. I'm going to give you the gift, the sight. I'm going to give you sight of who I am." How do we know this? Why am I saying this? It's because when they receive their sight, it says in the final verse, they immediately followed him. ultimately, to receive sight of who Jesus is spiritually is the greatest thing he can give to any of us. Many of us here tonight have received that sight. If you know Jesus as the Lord, he has given you true sight, which is so much greater than anything physical. Imagine being these blind men again for just a moment. Jesus, they cry out, we want our sight. And Jesus touches their eyes. And in that moment, these men go from darkness to light, not just physically, but spiritually as well. It's a flick of the switch. It's an injection or an ignition into a new world, a new vision, a new perspective on everything. As these blind men open their eyes, they go, oh, I can see. I can see for the first time. My word, I can see who Jesus is. I can see he's the King, he's the Messiah, he's the Savior. I can see physically, but I can see who Jesus is. That's amazing. Can you imagine opening your eyes for the first time and seeing Jesus stood in front of you? The first thing you see. And it's not that you just see him physically, but you realize who he is. And your heart is pounding because you realize what he's done for you. So what should our response be when we receive our sight, when we see who Jesus is? Well, I think, simply put, the same as the blind men, to follow Jesus. I wonder, how do you respond when the Lord provides for you? What is your response? Just some final thoughts as I come into land. Just want to leave you with a few things. Don't be surprised that when Jesus does provide for you, when you make your requests and he answers that, when he provides for you, don't be surprised that if you get more than what you asked for, more than just your request. What do I mean by that? Well, don't be surprised that in those moments when the Lord provides for you, you also receive a clearer vision, a clearer understanding of who Jesus is spiritually. It's like we would say to Jesus, Jesus, I need, or Jesus, I want this, and you've given it to me. But now I see, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. Oh, Jesus, I really need your help with this. I need this. I need your help. Thank you, Jesus. And now I see who you really are. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I could really do some help with this. Please, Lord, please. And, oh, Jesus, now I see how merciful you are by nature. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be surprised, just like the blind man, that when we ask for Jesus to help us, and when he provides for us in the many ways that he does, don't be surprised if you see more, if you learn more about who he is spiritually in the process. Because ultimately, that's the greatest gift he will provide. That we'll see him more clearly. So if you're here this evening and you're wondering how to answer his question, what do you want me to do for you? Then why not simply answer that question with, Lord, please reveal more of yourself to me. I want to see you more clearly. And that's a great prayer to pray, because it's a prayer that can be prayed wherever you are on the faith spectrum. Whether you know Jesus right now and you've known him for 60 years, you can pray that prayer. And I'm sure Jesus would answer it. And he would begin to reveal himself more to you. Or maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus and you've never made a decision to follow him. But what an amazing prayer that is still to pray. Jesus, I don't yet know you. That's okay. But I'd like you to reveal more of you to me. More of yourself. And if you pray that prayer, I want to say to you, just be open and look to see how Jesus reveals himself to you. Let me pray to finish. Jesus, thank you that you come to us and you ask us this question. And Father, I'm sorry that at times we feel a little bit thrown by it, but the magnitude of the question you ask, we don't know how to answer. And so, Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself more to us, that as you provide for us in the many ways you do, we would see you spiritually more clearly. Lord, I thank you for these blind men, how they went from darkness to light. I pray that that would happen for us as well. That would keep happening. We'd keep seeing Jesus more clearly. Amen.